regular meeting to order. It is Wednesday, February 6th. The time is 9:20 a.m. We have Representatives Choquette, Miller, Broomberg, and Covina present at the time. Today, we're discussing House Bill 37. We will be just taking more testimony on the bill, and we will not be having any action on the bill today. I think at this time I'd like to hear, I have a couple of people signed up, but we'll hear Mr. Burgess. You were, I believe, next on the list the last time we met.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Scott Burgess with the Alaska Municipal League. I believe you have a copy of our resolution. Appreciate the sponsors' efforts in getting this legislation before you. We were involved, or at least aware of the issue as it was with us last year. And we did quite a bit of work, or at least the sponsor did quite a bit of work over the interim in which they tried to involve us, municipalities, as much as possible. And we had some presentations at our annual conference in November, which resulted in the passage of this resolution. The amount of income generated by PERS and TERS significantly affect employer contribution rates, since the employer contribution, employee contribution rates are fixed by statute. So the variation is on the employer side, and to a large degree, I guess I'm here speaking to you as an employer on behalf of municipalities, but also with the interest of our employees, that this fund be managed as well as possible. Alaska municipalities make up over half of all employer contributions to this program, so we're not just talking about a state program. And they have, obviously, direct impact on local tax rates as a result of this investment. We do support the legislation very much so. And specifically, a separate corporation to remove the fiduciary responsibility from the single individual and to have the sole responsibility for investment of the funds, that specific goal. The board of directors, we believe, should have the benefit of professional money management expertise. The legislation does not necessarily include that in the board, but with a separate advisory committee, and we believe that meets, for the most part, our concern that we have that. It's not just the beneficiaries or the employees or whatever, but that we're talking about significant funds here, the investment of those funds, and there is expertise that's needed in doing that, as we see with our permanent fund corporation as well. And the other issue that we feel strongly about, and perhaps you haven't heard this issue as much, is the representation on the board by the beneficiaries, but also employers. I think that will be an issue, as we've heard discussions last time, and we're hearing the other side, just how big that board ought to be. Obviously, you need a workable body, but you want to have adequate representation. Our concern is we have balanced and full representation of both employees and employers. We believe that this body does need the independence, much like our other bodies, like the permanent fund, that have management or investment responsibilities. And so perhaps some of the concerns that Representative Bloomberg raised last time, those are concerns in terms of some of the exemptions, but we think they're necessary in order to meet the requirements of investment, prudent investment, and management of the fund. And one last issue, which I'm sure we may be the only ones that will raise this, it's a side issue. It's appearing in lots of legislation. It's normal that you would see that because traditionally it's on the state books, but we think traditions are changing, and that is a request under the section. And we have legislation that was introduced last year, unfortunately didn't get passed. We've been introduced on the other side, and perhaps we'll have it introduced on this side as well, but in any event, should get to you. But it deals with the section, it's on page 5 of the original bill. I don't know if you have a sponsor substitute in front of you, or we're all dealing off the same bill.
But page 5, section
3710-290, exemption from taxation. Again, we're dealing with municipalities. many of our state organizations and federal programs are in the business of owning property now for investment purposes. They take property not because they want to, but because of foreclosure or lien in lieu of foreclosure. Municipalities are providing services to those properties, which keep the value of those properties at a certain level as an investment. That means police power, fire powers, road service, water and utilities. And because these properties are exempt from taxation, even though they may be getting rent or lease money, they're not paying taxes. We're not talking about a significant amount of money. We realize that this money would come from the fund, but we realize that that's the cost of doing business, just like any other investment opportunity that you have. We believe these properties, we don't mean the property of the corporation per se, but that property held for investment purposes, taken through foreclosure or lien in lieu of foreclosure, ought to be subject to municipal taxation.
Representative Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would your need be satisfied to eliminate that section?
Well, I think that I could provide language. I think it's a matter of adding language, because clearly you don't want the building of the administrative building of this corporation or something like that to be proposing that to be taxed. We're talking about property that's held, investment property held as a result of foreclosure or in lieu of foreclosure, something on that line. We have the language and certainly could provide it to the committee. Again, it's a small issue given the issue of this bill, but it's a specific interest of ours, and we don't want that to overshadow the importance of the legislation.
Just complete.
I
would like to see that language. I would like to also know if this is a problem with respect to other types of foreclosed properties, because it seems to me that this is just one agency that's probably much smaller than ASHA or AHFC, some of those. Maybe we should consider legislation on that subject. If there have to be other types, I'd be happy to talk with you about that, because I think there's merit in that. Also, whether you have the same problem with federally foreclosed properties, and if that's something we can deal with at the state level. I'd be interested in exploring that with you, because this is, I can see, just one aspect of a larger program. And frankly, I have some concern. In some locations like Anchorage, there's the tax cap. But it seems to me the policy behind that tax cap is to help the individual citizen, not large government. And I would be interested in exploring with you, and I realize this is a little tangent, but as long as we're talking about this, Mr. Chairman, whether there should be a provision of state law allowing a municipality to exempt from that tax cap certain types of governmental property.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gruenberg, the bill which we sought last year it was 308. This year it has been introduced in the Senate. It's SB 70, and we'd be glad to provide that information to the committee as well as Representative Gruenberg specifically. It does apply very much so to state and federal property, and it also varies from agency to agency. In some cases, agencies pay it. In some cases, agencies don't pay it. And the federal government, the problem is, it was raised last year, that because it's not on the books, even though we do it, maybe we shouldn't do it in the future. So there's a concern that the rules may change just because the legislature hasn't specifically put that in on the books, that perhaps it's discretionary. And we think that that's incorrect. So I'll be glad to provide that information. It is an issue that we raised last year, and we were down to the last minute, or it would have been on the books this year. Wasn't because it wasn't supported. But again, as far as this bill, I don't think that the section on page 5 was added specifically to counteract our concern. It's language that you will see in several bills already in the legislature now. It's on the books now and applies to other agencies, and that's what we're trying to address. So I don't think it was an attempt by either of the sponsors to make sure that it doesn't happen the way we'd like to see it. It is standard language. It's tradition. Because it's their public bodies, that they ought to be exempt from taxation. But the problem is, public bodies are tending to look a little different than they used to by those same traditions.
Representative Miller.
Getting back to, since we're on this tangent here, why should not their administrative buildings be taxed? I mean, if I've got a building across the street, I'm paying tax to survive those services for that building that's across the street. I mean, like you say, it's the cost of doing business if you own a building.
Chairman, President Miller, I think now we're getting to a much larger issue, and I guess it's really back to the foundation of taxation. Should the public pay taxes for a building that basically provides services to them? And that's really where the traditional aspect comes from. In many cases, for example, the federal government, we pushed, there is legislation in certain cases, and we have always had a position that perhaps the state ought to do the same, called payment in lieu of taxes, is that because there are services provided by a municipality, that perhaps in lieu of taxes there ought to be some payments. But I think you really get, I mean, the foundation of the issue is that the public shouldn't pay taxes to itself, essentially, and that's the reason. But, for example, there's federal legislation, payment in lieu of taxes, 1976, where federal property, where you own large federal properties in, say, boroughs, or forests, or whatever, preserves, or whatever, obviously there are people working in those forests that use the services of municipalities, and money goes back under a payment in lieu of taxes to those municipalities distributed on either a size of the area or population. That's not done at the state level, but I don't want to ramble on because I'm not sure I'm answering the representative's question.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, I would agree with that assumption if we're talking about one of these buildings over here, which do provide services to the public. But in this particular case, this building is only providing, it's only there, it's not a service to the public, it's only a service to those people which are involved in this program, which are benefiting from the state retirement system or whatever it may be. It's not a function to the public. So if we're looking at that aspect, I think that these buildings should be taxed if the corporation owns the building, because it's not a service to all the public out there.
Number one, this corporation probably not going to own a building anyways, so we're it's possible, but probably not going to happen.
We don't know that.
No, you're right.
I mean, we got a this will be roughly, what, a $4 billion corporation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a building for them to run out of themselves. Do we pay taxes on buildings that we lease? I would assume that if a private industry builds a building and we lease it, they're paying taxes on it. So in essence, we're really paying that tax through our lease anyways. Mr. Burgess?
Mr. Chairman, for the most part, the answer to your question is yes. There is a nuance that's coming up that will appear in SB 70, and I will provide to the committee and to the Representative Gruenberg. There is an issue that's coming about now where a municipality locates their building in another municipality, and we're not sure that should be tax exempt because it's a different public benefiting from that public. So that's a new issue, and there's also some tax ramifications coming up where a private investor gets a municipality to, you know, sell the bonds to pay for that building and use that as a way to take their equity out of a building and get tax exemption.
Right.
So those are becoming problems that we'd like to address. But for the most part, if it's a private building leased to a municipality, I mean, leased to a private individual, a private individual leases a building to a public agency, they're still paying taxes on that building as a lease amount. So we're getting into a lot bigger issue than I think before this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One quick question, if you could answer Representative Gruenberg's question. Would you have any problem with the municipal leagues have any problem with taking this section out?
Mr. Chairman, my response to that was I think we would prefer an amendment to it rather than completely removing it. I mean, that would be our goal. The larger issue that Representative Miller raised, I'd have to go back and think about that one. But our basic purpose would be to get an amendment to that section that goes along the legislation we're pursuing now.
Captain Gruenberg.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a subject, I think, that has the interest of the committee.
Yes.
And it goes beyond this bill. Gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me I think we're all interested in this. I would think maybe it'd be possible to have a hearing on this subject to see, talk about some of these bills. Maybe the committee be interested in introducing a bill on the subject or something. But I'd like to know more about it. It strikes me as an important subject and somewhat within our purview since it's the state paying the taxes.
I agree.
in response to that, I, again, would be glad to provide the information and concern we have. I guess my concern is perhaps on some of the other issues that were raised in the last hearing, that they may be, while they're related to the bill, I'm not sure they're significant enough to hold this bill down in order to resolve all those other issues. In other words, I think we can take care of, I mean, we want to see this bill move forward as fast. I'm not saying, disagreeing with you, you're not going to move it out today. I'm just saying, I'd like to see it move forward. In terms of this bill, if we could satisfy our specific request, which is an amendment as opposed to dealing with the larger tax issue, and given that if you're interested, we'd love to see this committee look at the bill that we've got now in the Senate. Love to see it in the House, and I'd be glad that this committee would entertain introducing it. But I guess my concern is that this issue is such a significant issue that this bill relates to directly. I'm afraid if we get too tied up in the side issues.
That issue will not hold this bill in priority.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to do.
There's a number of issues with this bill that I think a number of us don't understand clearly yet. And so that issue will not hold this bill up. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Burgess?
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Scott. I'd like to hear Willie Anderson, please. Willie, would you state your name and who you're representing for the record, please?
My name is Willie Anderson. I represent NEALASA, who are the representative of school employees across the state of Alaska. I come before you, Mr. Chairman, to speak in support of the concept before you in terms of establishing a corporation to deal with the revenue in the TRS and PRS and other retirement systems in the state. We, however, have some real concerns, and I would ask just a little bit of diversion in terms of speaking to the issue, at least as it related to Representative Allman's substitute that deals with the composition of the board. We're supportive of those changes. It's our concern that the board presently, as it is in this bill, is constituted by three beneficiary members, and it's our desire to see Representative Allman's bill or amendment to the bill be enacted as a part of this bill, which would have two teacher members, one retired, one active, two PRS members, one retired, one active, and an SBS member on it. And that issue or concern is one of the areas that we are supportive of. We are at this present time in opposition to the current composition of the board with seven members, three of whom may or may not be members of the teacher system or the PRS system. That problem was spoken to last week. And we support the issues raised by the people who spoke to you from Anchorage and Fairbanks last week. Additionally, we are concerned about the issue regarding the ability of the governor to remove members of the committee, as we've seen most recently that ability, at least from our perspective, has been abused somewhat in recent weeks. And we would like to see some assurance that this committee does not become a political pawn of any administration, be it this administration, next administration, whomever it is. And so our concern is that we have some insulation of these participants, at least the elected participants. The appointed participants, we understand that if they're appointed at the pleasure of the governor, then the ability of the governor to remove them could be sustained under the current way the bill is constituted. We're also interested in dealing with the whole issue of how and when the integration of the system. Presently, this board constitutes the management of the funds for the system, and we support that concept. Integration of the benefit for the system itself and pulling the current boards that are in place that have worked for the last number of years, we believe that those boards have worked well and are important to continue, at least until this board gets through the process of making some financial decisions, dealing with the financial issues before it. And to that end, we are very supportive of that concept. The historical nature of the board and the TRS and PRS has been that they deal with the benefit and administration of benefit, and we believe that administration side of it needs to be maintained where the beneficiaries see and experience the benefits themselves and can deal with some of those hearings that are taking place. We have submitted a document for you to review, and I'll answer any questions regarding that document or anything I've said today.
Well, have you seen that all three of the amendments that Representative Ulmer has proposed?
Yes, we have seen those.
Representative,
and you're supportive of those?
All three of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Anderson, it seems that I'm looking at your January 28th letter to the chair of the committee, Chair Covina, that you would add a fourth concern, and that is the governor's ability to remove the members.
Right.
But you stand behind those three adding this fourth concern.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Shulkat.
Through the chair, I understand that Representative Gruenberg is doing some research now on just cause and some of the other some of the language used in this bill. I would like to caution the role of the governor in government and what we elected him for, and I look forward to discussing this at a later time when Representative Gruenberg does get the information to this committee. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope to hear Gary from you, and I think maybe the better thing to do is probably not at this time because we have so many questions there. I would like our committee to also understand the differences in the two bills that are going on the other side, and I'm not sure if that's really appropriate for the House to do or whatnot,
yes,
but I'd like to see, because I think the administration has some concern like some things and maybe both the bills or something. And so the next time we hear this bill, I'm going to ask Revenue and Administration to present us an overview of their concerns on those two things. And you all should have all three of those amendments, and I think those are three things that address, or several things actually, that address a number of the concerns that were brought before the last time. Anything else?
I'll get some. Nothing.
Okay, anybody on it? All right. Let me see. I have a little statement I think I'm supposed to say where we're going next. Okay, the next meeting, Husky Affairs, will be Friday the 8th. I believe that will be 8 o'clock in the morning, too. We'll be hearing. No briefing. So I think we'll do that at 8:30. We have House Bill 22, which will be the first hearing relating to certain legislative information in confidential. HDR 2, relating to Kenai as the bicentennial city, 1991. Top priority of the finance chairman. And a.
I didn't know Representative McClain.
SCR2 relating the same thing from the Senate side. So we'll be hearing those on.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, for that important, perhaps I should ask for referral to the International Trade and Tourism Committee.
That's possible.
The full hearing.
That's okay.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate passed the equivalent measure.
I said that.
That's right.
Yes, we also have SCR. Okay, anything else?
I think.
9:45. Mary?
Yeah.
I don't like this packet. I think you need to go with... Yeah.